Rebuilding the Temple by Chuck Fopple. Introduction. I believe we are living in the most exciting time ever in the history of God's people. We are, in fact, at the threshold of a new age, a kingdom age, which is in direct opposition to Satan's counterfeit new age. In this kingdom age, God's people, not the elite of this world, will rule and reign as co-heirs of the kingdom with Christ. Sadly, for those of us in the Western world, we are not experiencing this excitement in the same way that the first century believers did, much less in the glory that God intends for the overcoming remnant upon which he would pour out his Spirit. Indeed, when we look at what God is doing in our day globally, the West is not where the action is. This does not negate my conviction, however, that this moment in history is a Kairos moment. God urgently desires to prepare a bride that is spotless for his son's great wedding day. This is something to be excited about. This will be an event that has no comparison in human history. Our imaginations are not big enough to even begin to take in what all of this means. The anticipation of this event, which will literally be earth-shattering, should catapult the church to prepare herself to see her long-awaited bridegroom. It is time for us to be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her, the wife of Yeshua, was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Revelation 19, verses 7 through 8. Because the church is so compromised and full of apostasy, this has not been the reaction of the church in the West. Though there is certainly evidence that God has always had a remnant who is listening to his heartbeat. He is calling us to rebuild the temple where he once resided in all of his glory. I am not talking about church buildings here. Church buildings have become mausoleums that are worshipped by dead souls who have become slaves to programs which have a built-in agenda to control and create in their own image. Nor am I talking about better programs, or even mission or evangelism efforts to reach a world ripe for harvest. While we certainly cannot fault the church for wanting to reach a lost and dying world with the gospel, we must ask, what gospel is being preached to this world? The gospel that must be preached can only come out of a vibrant worshiping community which is committed to its master to the death. There is a cross that each of us must endure who would become overcomers. It is a cross that will subdue our will to conform to the will of God. This is a death that must occur within each of us individually, and one that will characterize our corporate community of faith. Until this community is established within our own spheres, the church has no corporate testimony of the gospel. The task of God's people is to build this worshiping community. This will not be an easy task. It is a task that works death in us. There is a built-in resistance to such a process because it inevitably undermines the agendas of church buildings and programs that seek to build for the glory of man by way of increased numbers, attendance, membership, soul saved, baptisms, or budgets. The call to rebuild the temple is not an invitation to greatness or recognition for ministry. It is rather a call to be misunderstood, to suffer disrepute, to endure hardship, and to risk rejection. It is an invitation to take up our own cross and die to all self-life so that we might realize the establishment of the kingdom of God and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It requires people who are willing to risk and to suffer to the death for this cause. The first century Christians were willing to do this, and we see this poignantly expressed by the Apostle Paul in his second letter to the Corinthian church, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 6 through 12. The church today in China and other parts of the world are willing to do this, and have had to pay a dear price. These people have suffered persecution to the point where those who have determined to build this temple have been driven underground. We marvel at what God is doing in these places and wonder why he is not doing this in our midst. The reason is that to date, so few have been willing to make the sacrifice to rebuild the temple. This small book is about rebuilding the temple of God in our day. The biblical center for this call is found in the prophet Haggai, along with its historical counterpart, the book of Ezra, though other scripture bears importantly on this process as well. Haggai's prophecy was immediately to the people of Israel returning from captivity in Babylon. But it is no less a call to the people of God today. It is an urgent message that must be heard. Indeed, it must not only be heard, it must be believed and responded to in faith. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. James 1, verses 22 through 25. The message is urgent. God is calling us to rebuild his holy temple. I trust that this treatise will guide our path in becoming doers of this important work ahead of us. Chapter 1 provides a historical background for the rebuilding of the physical temple in Israel following the Babylonian captivity. Chapter 2 applies the spiritual principles found in that Old Testament experience to what God would accomplish among his people in our day. The rebuilding process was not without challenge. The people of God encountered many obstacles as they responded to the call of God to rebuild Solomon's temple. When they were disobedient, there were consequences for that disobedience. As they repented, however, and became obedient doers, the temple was built to the glory of God. We too must expect to encounter obstacles along the way, and the lessons of obedience and disobedience that we might learn from Israel's experience are taken up in the last chapters of this book. End of introduction.